Hazur, it is stated in Surah Nas about jinn.
Yes.
Could you please explain the reality of the jinn, what their function is, or do they exist now?
You see, jinns are different types of people or different types of forms of existence. According to the Holy Quran, there are so many types of jinn which have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Some people who visited Ahadrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from some far off place secretly and came in the dead of night, they met Ahadrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard the Holy Quran and believed in him. They are known to be a tribe from somewhere who wanted to hide their identity and who came quietly. And the proof that they were like ordinary people was seen the next day when they had left. That where they had stayed like human beings. They had built fires, and the remains of their usage of that place were witnessed by other people. So they knew this was the place which was occupied by those visitors. So from the remains of those people, it was established that they were human beings. Otherwise, the jinn, which are the product of many imaginations, do not build fires like this, you know. They don't have to occupy a place like human beings do. Again, the Holy Quran tells us about the jinns which were subjugated for the sake of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. Those jinns, according to the Holy Quran, among other qualities, had two very positive characteristics. Number one, they could be chained and they could be bound with heavy chains. So if the jinns are ethereal things which can cross walls and stones and mountains, nothing can stop them, how could they be chained with iron chains? They don't have fists like us. They don't have a body like us. They can't be chained. Then the Holy Quran tells us that some jinns used to dive in the water and bring the underwater wealth and minerals and also pearls from underneath. And the Holy Quran also refers to jinn as having been made of fire. So at least these jinns were not made of fire, because the fire, the moment it went into the sea, should have got extinguished altogether. Fire and water can't live together. So that means the word jinn is applicable to many different things. So if you understand the basic sense of the word jinn and the essential meaning of the word jinn, then the whole problem will be resolved, and every jinn, whatever he is, must contain the same central meaning. The word jinn means that is which is hidden from the sight. And the word jinn in Arabic also means big people. It means people of the mountain. And the word jinn also, according to the Holy Quran, means fiery people, rebellious people. So those powers, those types of human beings on earth, which live a remote life from ordinary people, they are referred to as jinn, like big people as known in the world, you know, capitalists and very wealthy people or royal society and royal families, etc. They never come in, they seldom come into contact with ordinary human beings. Similarly, big powers on earth can be referred to as jinn. Rebellious people can be referred to as jinn. And very sturdy and hardy people like the jinns of Hazrat Sulaiman and Dawood can also be referred to as jinn. Jinn can also refer to bacteria. But all this has one central meaning, that something which lives a life remote from ordinary people, because the people who were subjugated by Hazrat Sulaiman, Hazrat Dawood first and Hazrat Sulaiman later on, were not the people of the same area, but they were mountaineer people, were very sturdy and hardy people and rebellious also. So because they were removed from ordinary sight of the people living on plains, they were referred to as jinn. Similarly, the word jinn applies to bacteria. And this usage is proved from Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Because Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once prohibited people to use bones for cleaning themselves after urinating or after going to the call of nature. So Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them that if you don't have water, use clay or anything, but do not use bones. Because, he said, it is the jinns feed on bones. So they may harm you. Now, at that time, nobody could understand that these bones are food for some type of existence, some type of life. But whatever fed on bones was referred to by Ahadra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as jinn. Now you know that bacteria feed on bones. And if you use bones for cleaning yourself, wiping yourself, those bacteria may harm you and you may suffer from septic wounds or fever, etc. You know, these bacteria would enter your life system and hurt you. So the jinns, in that sense, are bacteria as well, who are hidden from sight. Women are also referred to as jinn in Arabic. Snakes are referred to as jinn in Arabic. Jan is a word which means both jinn and snakes, because snakes also live a separate life of their own, hidden from the common sight. And also they are rebellious in nature. I mean, they are dangerous things. So, jinns are volatile people. People removed from common people. Very powerful people. Those people who hide themselves from the sight. And those types of life which are not visible through naked eyes. All these are jinns. Now, if you must insist that there should also be some jinn which can be bottled and then opened up for usage by rubbing the lamp of Aladdin, etc. Well, you may believe in it. I have nothing against it. But so far, in the real world, such jinni have not been positively proved to exist. Yet, I would not deny that. I won't go to the extent of saying it is impossible for them to exist. God has created so many things. Maybe He has also created jinns of
Aladdin.
What?
Of Aladdin, sir.
No. Not Aladdin jinn. I mean, that is also just a fake thing. I mean, something which is not visible, but which exists. A sort of spiritual being, which has which cannot be seen with naked eyes, but which can appear and disappear and do sometimes some mischief, etc. I don't say we must rule them out, because so much evidence keeps pouring from everywhere in the world that something of that nature happens. And I have also witnessed sometimes things which speak of a phenomenon beyond common experience. So that is why I do not categorically deny the very possibility of such existence. But as far as human beings are concerned, they should not be afraid of them. They do not mean anything to us. We must not be cowed by their presence or live in superstition. God has created us as the best of creation. As such, we are created to rule and not to be ruled.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir. But sir, according to your first definition that jinn are rebellious people, are man who can
be.
Change. Can be.
Yes, sir.
But sir, then what is the difference between man and jinn, sir?
That is the difference of common people and the big people. In Surah Nas, the Holy Quran particularly uses this this word to describe two types of human beings, not different types of life. For instance, if you read the Surah Nas, you will come to a point where you have to understand that the word jinn also applies to human beings, because it says, "Min sharril waswasil khannasil ladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas minal jinnati wan nas."
Yes.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, malikin nas, ilahin nas. No jinn are mentioned here. Only nas. Divided into three categories. Allazi min sharril waswasil khannas. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Waswas khannas is one person or one type of existence which breathes into people. Minal jinnate wan nas. Those people are divided into two classes, jinn and nas. Starting from the beginning of the surah, you come to understand that only nas are being discussed. And when it says that khannas breathe into them, into these nas, then the nas are divided into two categories, jinn and nas. So nas means people in general, human beings in general, and also nas means proletariat. Not bourgeois. So the word jinn here would apply to bourgeois. And the word nas would apply to proletariat. But those, both of them would be still human beings. So this differentiation is made elsewhere also in Surah Ar-Rahman. The Holy Quran says, Ya ma'shar al-jinn wal-insa. إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يا معشر الجن والإنس إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات Oh, the very essence or the leaders of Annas and oh, the very leaders of al-jinn, both of you would try to transcend the barriers of universe. Whatever you may do, you will never be able to transcend the barriers or the ultimate limits of the universe. This is the verdict of the Quran. And what do you find today? Two types of people on earth are attempting or have been attempting for the last two decades to transcend the barriers of the universe. Americans and the Russians. Russians stand for proletariats. Americans stand for bourgeois. So they are the jinns and they are the nas. And mashar means the very top. The very, the essence of the leadership. So not every bourgeois power will be able to do that. Only very rich and very powerful among them would be able to think of, would be able to even imagine that they could cross these barriers and would start attempting to doing so. So here the Holy Quran explains itself in relation to what we are observing today. So the translation that jinn may apply on a larger section of human society which belong to capitalists. And the nas, the word nas may apply to a larger section of humanity which belong to a system which can be described as pro system of proletariats. So the word jinn is very wide in its application. It should be understood according to its context, according to the context in which it is being used. Right?
Yes, sir. And so if the Americans are the jinn and so the Russians are the nas, where do we fit in, sir?
You are neither a jinn nor a nas. You are belong to mu'mineen, which are described separately by the Holy Quran. You see, there are three types of people. One on the right, one on the left, and one who are forward. So you belong to the sabiqoon, neither to the leftist nor to the rightist. I hope so.
Yes, sir. Yeah, sir. Thank you, sir.
Good.